Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2, the safe space created for Black women by Black women to strip away the taboo of talking about mental health. You'll hear from mental health professionals and advocates as well as Black women sharing their experiences as we break down the complexities, explore ways to heal, and support each other. My name is Ashley, I'm your host. Whether you're a seasoned regular or this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Now let's get into today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to Black Girls Have Anxiety 2. I'm your host, Ashley Nas. I'm so happy that y'all are here with me today. I have a really great guest on today. Her name is Dakira Horn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, of course. So Dakira is another podcaster. Like, I love when fellow podcast hosts come on. We're going to get into her podcast in just a little bit. But I want to give y'all a little insight into what we're going to be talking about today. And I guess before I do that, I should probably tell you all the great things Dakira is doing. So she is a registered dietitian nutritionist. She's located in Jersey, Central Jersey to be exact. And she specializes in mental health and gut health. So if y'all listen to this podcast and have been listening for a long time, you know that I've talked a little bit about the intersection of mental health and gut health. But I have yet to speak to a nutritionist or a dietitian when it comes to what that actually looks like from like a clinical point of view. So Dakira works in areas of weight management, women's health, and overall wellness. She's extremely passionate about helping clients improve their mental health through food and nutrition. She specifically focuses on anxiety, hence why she's here, y'all. And she has experience in treating depression, OCD, ADHD, and other psychiatric conditions. She worked in clinical nutrition for about 2 years now, specifically pediatrics and geriatrics. And y'all, she's the host of the Anxious It Girl. And I have to say it like that, girl.
It girl.
So she believes that all foods fit in. And so that is the sum of all the things that she's doing. And I feel like I haven't really seen many dietitians that are existing in this space between mental health and nutrition. So I'm super excited to get into this conversation today. Before we do that, Dakira, are you ready to play Fast and Curious?
Yes, I am.
All right. So for everybody that is listening to the pod and maybe you're new here, welcome. Welcome to the community. Mm-hmm. For anybody that's new, this Fast and Curious round is basically 3 minutes, which usually turns into like 5 or 6, but it's where I ask my guests really random questions and we just get to know them a little bit. All right, here we go. I feel like it's only right to ask you, what's the weirdest food that you've ever eaten?
Oh gosh, I'm like a very like picky eater. I don't eat a lot of things, but the weirdest thing I ate, and this is no offense to anyone's culture, I think sheep cheese, because I don't like cheese.
Oh, feta cheese.
I'm not a big cheese person. Yeah. And I went to Slovakia and I had this sheep cheese and it was like, I hated it. Like, I
really?
Yeah. I didn't like it at all.
That's so interesting. So I lived in Bulgaria for a short period of time, and so I ate a lot of sheep's milk cheese. And over there, they call it like white cheese and yellow cheese. And I don't do like dairy from cows.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to. But I was obsessed with that cheese. Like, I ate so much of it. I came back to America and I was like, I'm not eating this crap that we have over here. Like, I'm going to Whole Foods. I'm going to go find this $10 cheese from Bulgaria. But it has like a tangy taste. So I can see how somebody finds it gross.
Did you find it at Whole Foods?
Yeah, so I actually get Bulgarian feta cheese from Sprouts now. Whole Foods is like an hour away from me. But yeah, I get it from Sprouts now, and it's in like a brine, like a salted water.
Okay.
And it's a block, and that's how I know it's real, because that's how I bought it when I was over there. So if it's like that, if it's in a little container and it's all dry, like how they sell feta, and I'm
feta
using like
cheese.
bunny ears here because half the
Yeah.
time when you look at the ingredients, the feta cheese is not real feta cheese. It's like feta cheese from a cow, which means it's not.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, this is my rabbit hole about feta cheese. What is the most interesting food that you've tried that you liked?
I feel like this happened to me recently. Oh my gosh. Hope I remember. Interesting food that. Oh gosh.
It could be anything like breakfast food, lunch or dinner. It could be like something that maybe isn't necessarily interesting or like unique to you. Like, for example, I'm Jamaican. I love oxtails, but I grew up telling people that my favorite food is oxtails, and about 8 times out of 10, they're like, "What? You eat the
Yeah.
what? The ox's
Funny.
tail?"
I actually can't remember something now. When I was in Europe once, and so I studied abroad in the Netherlands. When I was in the Netherlands, oh my gosh, sorry.
It's okay.
I worked at a restaurant and I had a spinach waffle with smoked salmon. And at the time, I was never into, I had like this thing against white sauces. So like, I never liked mayo or tartar sauce or ranch growing up. I just didn't like white sauces for some reason. And the spinach waffle with smoked salmon came with spicy mayo. And I never tried a spinach waffle before. I never tried smoked salmon before. And I thought that it was raw and I didn't like the consistency of that because I don't eat raw fish. And I never tried spicy mayo before. But whenever I went to the restaurant, everyone was always ordering it. Like I was always seeing it on people's tables. I was like, you know what? I should try this. And it was like the best dish I've ever had, like in Europe. It was
Really?
amazing. Yeah. Like I can't even like describe it. It was just like, I don't know how they came up with it, but literally like a spinach, like Belgian waffle with smoked salmon and fried egg and spicy mayo. And it was like the best combo
Oh my gosh, I feel like I want to try to make that because I love
ever.
everything that you just mentioned. Waffle, spinach. I literally eat smoked salmon out the package. Y'all, you can judge
Yeah.
me if you want to. I don't care. I might need to try to whip that up.
You know,
If
it's
I
good.
do
When I came back, I tried because I don't have a waffle maker, so I made like spinach pancakes with eggs, and I just like blended spinach with like a, with pancake mix, and then I made it with eggs and smoked salmon and spicy mayo, and it was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like we might need to like link up for like a cooking, like cook a couple dishes. I don't know. You talk about the nutritional aspects of it and I can eat the food. I mean, we can make that work. What's your favorite time of day? Sunrise, daylight, nighttime?
I like sunrise and daylight. It's funny that you asked me this because I have like beef with 4 p.m. I hate when it's 4 o'clock because like I don't know. I just have like I hate when it's transitioning into nighttime. Because
Really?
I hate, I don't, yeah, I just don't like, I don't know. I feel the darkness is so like sad, but like I love sunlight and daylight. And I love this, like I love when it's the morning times. I love sunlight coming through the windows and it just being bright with sun. I hate when it's dark. So definitely morning time and daylight, but not nighttime.
It's ironic that we're literally recording on daylight savings time.
Yeah. I thought daylight savings was over with, but I guess not.
Yeah, I thought it was last week. And then I was telling my husband, oh, I have like a few episodes to record tomorrow. And I'm like, can you set an extra alarm? Because I got to start early. And he's like, oh, you get an extra hour. And I'm like, what? Didn't we already do this last week?
Yeah, no, but I thought that they were like completely permanently ending it.
I hope they do. I know in Florida they're like trying to sign like a bill to say that we don't have to follow it.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. But
Yeah.
I would actually like that to happen. Like, especially Florida, like it's sunny here all the time. I would
Yeah.
prefer to have an extra hour. Like, it's so nice in December. It would be nice to have the sun out till like 8 o'clock at night,
Yeah.
rather
That would be,
than
that sounds
4 o'clock.
like my ideal life.
Yes. How do we make this happen?
I know, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. What was your favorite candy growing up?
M&M's.
What kind? Like regular M&M's, peanut?
Regular M&M's, yeah, I loved regular M&M's.
Oh, peanut butter M&M's are my favorite.
Oh, I also have beef with peanut butter. I hate peanut butter.
So, guys, that's the end of the podcast. It is great. It's fun recording with you. I literally eat peanut butter every day. We have completely opposite palates.
I like other nut butters like cashew and almond, but mm-hmm. peanut butter, like the taste just really throws me off so bad. Like even really? One time I went to Cold Stone and I usually get the chocolate devotion because I'm obsessed with chocolate. And I guess like you know how Cold Stone they mix up your ice cream on the table?
Yeah.
I guess there was like someone had peanut butter and it got into my ice cream. And it completely ruined my ice cream for me. I was so mad. I can't.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's actually a safety hazard because some people have allergies. And
I know.
That can literally kill somebody.
I know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Not to get dramatic, but
that's, I know. That's no, it's true though. I did tell the manager, but they didn't really, I don't know.
They didn't care. Oh my gosh. Thank God it was you and not somebody with an actual like.
I know. Seriously.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you don't like peanut butter. You don't like feta cheese. Let's find a common ground of something that we like together. What is your favorite vegetable?
Probably broccoli.
Oh my gosh. This is, I don't, no, I don't do broccoli either.
You don't like broccoli?
So I loved broccoli growing up. Like I loved the cold broccoli, like that used to be in the front of the store with like the broccoli, cauliflower, carrots and ranch.
With the ranch dip? Yeah, okay.
I would kill that. Like, my mom would just buy it, and I would just like, okay, get home from school, and just get some vegetables, and just douse them in ranch.
That's funny.
But I ate so much of it, like, so much broccoli that I can't do it now.
I just feel like broccoli is so neutral tasting, so I feel like it goes well with a lot of things, and I don't know, I always opt for broccoli.
I like the bougie broccoli, the baby broccoli.
The broccolini, like I think.
Yes. Now I can eat that.
I can eat the bougie broccoli. Have more of like a bitter taste, but they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, those are really good. Okay, what's your favorite fruit? Maybe we'll get one.
definitely pineapples or grapes.
Okay. Now we've found common ground. We made it, y'all. Takira almost got kicked out of the podcast, but it's okay. We're good. We made it.
Yeah, those are definitely my favorite fruits.
Oh, okay. So how do you like put them in smoothies and stuff? How do you eat them?
I would eat it as like a dish on its own. Those are probably my favorite fruits since I was a kid. Yeah. So I would eat it, or sometimes I'll put pineapples in my yogurt.
Oh, I like that. I like that too. Oh, okay. One last question, because I see that you love to travel as well. Where is your favorite place that you've traveled to, and where is a place that you would level that you like? What's the next thing on your bucket list?
So my favorite island is Curacao, and I absolutely love talking about this. I go to Curacao every single year. I went for the first time, 2021 with my friends, and I like fell in love with it. I feel like everyone has like this one place that they feel so connected to, and that they lived there in a past life. I think that Curacao is that for me. And I ended up going twice that year. I went again in 2022, and I went again for my birthday this year. And I absolutely love Curacao. And for those that do not know, it's one of the Dutch islands in the Caribbean. It's a part of the ABC Islands, so Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao, they're all sister islands. And to me, it is the best island. They have the best beaches. They have amazing food. The people and the locals are so nice. And the island itself, it's just so nice and just like so homey. I absolutely love Curacao.
Oh my gosh. I want to go there now. I've always wanted to go out there. You know, I never knew. Now this is going to sound real ignorant, but I'm going to be unapologetic about it. Like I didn't realize there was like black people in the Netherlands until I went to an event in Miami, and this woman that was running the event was like, oh no, my mom and I are from, I want to say she might've been from Curacao, or I don't remember what exact place, but I was like, that's interesting. And then she goes on to like tell me this whole history and how it is connected to the like the larger diaspora of like displaced African peoples. I just never knew that.
When I went to the Netherlands, it like the population looked like some like a 2050 dystopia. Like everyone was like mixed. So it was a lot of like light-skinned people with like colored eyes, and because they have a lot of Africans there, they have some Caribbean people, they have a lot of Moroccan and Turkish people there. So there's, and obviously like the Dutch people themselves. So it's like a big mix of like a bunch of different cultures, and there's a lot of like interracial couples and children. So it was really cool. Yeah, they have a lot of, that's how I got into Curacao, because a lot of the Black people that I met there were either half from Curacao. I don't know if it's Curacaoan. I don't know like the terminology for that. Or they were like completely like their parents from Curacao. So I was like, oh, I want to go to Curacao. And then I ended up going, and it like completely changed my life.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I have so many
Yeah.
more questions. I will save them for another
I
day.
love Curacao.
Yes, I'm adding it to my list. So, what's a place that you would love to travel to?
So I've had Belize on my bucket list for a while now.
Me
But
too.
yeah,
Okay.
I really want to go to Belize for sure. Yeah,
Yes.
I already like planned it out. All I have to do is just like choose when I want to go. And I'm planning, but for now, I'm planning my next trip to be to Costa Rica.
Oh, yes. I was in Costa Rica early this year.
Oh, really?
Amazing. Like, I want to go
Oh my God.
there. I didn't want to leave. It's
Yeah.
just it's beautiful. I was in El Roble for a wedding, and
Okay, nice.
then we went to San Jose for like 4 days after that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. People are beautiful there. Like, just beautiful human beings, just really
Yeah.
nice, and it was just a very peaceful place.
Yeah, it's actually ironic because I feel like out of all the Central American countries, Costa Rica was last on my list because like everyone goes there now, so I was like, whatever. And I've been to Panama, and I absolutely loved Panama. That was probably my second favorite place, tied with St. Martin. So I really wanted to go back to Panama. I wanted to go to like El Salvador and Guatemala. But then one like recently, I had a dream about Costa Rica, and then I woke up feeling like I wanted to go, and then I started seeing signs everywhere of Costa Rica, like within the last week. So I was like, oh, maybe I should go to Costa Rica. I think that I'm getting signs to go there. So that's why I'm planning to go there now. So like now I'm really excited to go. But yeah, it's very strange how it came out of nowhere. But I think I'm just being called to go for some reason, so I'm gonna
The
go.
universe is like speaking through me. You need to go to Costa
Yeah,
Rica.
literally.
Yes, well, if you go, let me know what you think. It's a beautiful
I
country. I definitely want to go back there sooner than later. Thank you so much for playing Fast and Curious with me. It wasn't as
will.
fast today. It was like, we're going 15 miles an hour.
Problems with the food
I
differences.
know, right? If we ever meet up for dinner, I will make sure like we got to vet the restaurant. Do you like stuff on there? Do I like stuff on there? So, next time I'm up north, we'll figure
Yeah, for
it out.
sure.
So, I want to talk a little bit about your background in nutrition. How did you end up on this path?
So my mom is West Indian, she's from Grenada, and she's always been very into nutrition and food science and herbs. And growing up, she wanted to be a dietitian, but she was never able to go to college. So because of how she raised me to always want to heal myself naturally and drinking a bunch of herbal teas and eating healthy foods and we weren't allowed to drink juice. Like she was just very, very healthy. So I just grew up loving health and nutrition. And then I also dealt with some issues as a teenager that I felt I needed to cure through nutrition. I have this skin condition called hidradenitis. And at the time when I was in 8th grade, this was 2012, there was barely any information about it on the internet at all. Like it was like no one knew what it was. And I was basically getting like multiple like large cysts in like enclosed areas. So like in like your genital area, like under your arms. And as a kid, I had no idea what the hell was going on with my body. I was like, why am I getting these painful cysts like under my arms? I can't move my arms. I had to skip school because I couldn't walk because I would
Oh
have
my
cysts
goodness.
like all down there. So it was very like embarrassing and a very painful condition. And I would go to the dermatologist all the time and like getting needles in these cysts and like getting them removed. And it was like a very traumatic, painful experience to deal with as a teenager, especially. And I ended up after like months of Google searching, I came across someone who said that they had hidradenitis, and I looked it up and I realized that's what I had. And that it runs in my dad's side of the family because my dad and I have other relatives on his side that also dealt with the same issue as well. And then I
Did
have a
they know what
friend.
it was? Did your
No,
dad say
they never knew what it was. And it's actually funny because I saw a meme, my older brother shared a meme one time, and someone was holding up their arm with a cyst underneath it, and it was like, this is one of the most painful things ever. And like, but no one ever knew what it was. Like, there was never a name for it. And then I finally found a term on Google, hydradenitis, and realized that that's what I had. And then a few years later, and now especially, now it's all over Google. Like, there's so much more research on it now. It's all over Google. There's a commercial for it. Like, dermatologists know more about it now. And it's basically triggered by, it can be triggered by different things. So genetics is one thing. Hormones is another thing. Diet and inflammation is another thing. So as a kid, I wanted to just completely stop it. So I was trying all these remedies and going on these different diets and trying to calm the inflammation in my body and balancing my hormones. I thought it was because I would get them whenever my period was about to come. So I realized it was a hormonal trigger for me and also inflammation. So then that's when that was like the first time I really got into healing my body naturally. And then ever since then, I've always tried to cure things naturally through food and nutrition and herbs.
That's so interesting that you as a young like teenager are thinking about your body in this way and thinking of healing in this way, because I mean, let's face it, like middle school, high school, that is like the last thing that anybody wants to be thinking about.
Yeah.
And then to also like have the wherewithal to continue to research and figure it out. Cause sometimes let's face it, doctors don't always know and can't always recognize what's going on when you know your body the best, but like being in like high school and did you ever feel like overwhelmed with like needing to figure out how to get this thing that has now happening to you to stop?
Yeah, I used to cry a lot because it's a very painful condition to deal with. Because it's like, am I even joking? I would have up to 13 cysts at a time all throughout my genital area. So like, there were days where I couldn't sit. I couldn't like lay down. I would have to lay or sit down in certain positions. I would have to skip school. I couldn't walk. And then when it's under your arms, it hurts to move. Like, you can't like lift up your arms and stuff. So it was very debilitating. And I felt like I was very stressed. And I was also like as a kid, I was like, in this victim mindset, like, why is this happening to me? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I the only person in a family that has this many at a time? Like, I was really going through it. And also, as a kid, it was just very embarrassing to deal with. Because it's like, I couldn't really shave because it would trigger them or it made them worse. And it was just a lot to deal with. So I was always constantly, like, very depressed and sad about it. And luckily, one of my cousins told me that she got laser hair removal and that helps to stop the cysts. So as a high schooler, I was getting laser hair removal, which is like crazy because laser is very painful and also very expensive. So I was working a lot. I used to work at Dunkin' Donuts and I would work like extra hours to pay for the laser hair removal. It was also very painful as well. So like as a kid, it was very traumatizing to deal with. But I'm just grateful that like I don't deal with it as much anymore. And I keep up with my laser, so it doesn't really come back. Like I get one every once in a while, like when my period is coming. But otherwise, like I'm fine.
Thank you so much for sharing that because I've never heard of that before. What's it called again?
It's hidradenitis. It's hidradenitis.
Okay. I'm going to grab some information from you afterwards and then also include some more information in the description just because I've never heard of that. And that just sounds like such a roller coaster to go through, especially being a kid. Like I've never gotten laser hair, but I remember like getting bikini waxes in college and like Brazilians in college. And it's just, you're so young to kind of have to like expose yourself in this way.
Yeah.
And I was uncomfortable on the chair. That was me like just for vanity wanting to do that. But I thank you for sharing that because that is a lot to deal with in high school. On top of like your hormones are like doing what they're doing and you're in school and like it's just a lot to manage.
Yeah, it was. But I'm just happy and grateful that it's way more managed now because I follow a TikToker who's an adult that deals with it. And she's a probably like in her 30s, and she still has like a, because it's the way it's categorized is in like levels, like a, it's like acute and chronic, and she has it really bad, like under her arms and stuff. And like it's also embarrassing because sometimes they'll like they'll pop and leak through your clothes like while you're out in public.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I'm just
Oh my
grateful that mine is
goodness.
managed. I have scars, but like it's fine. It's just scars.
So how do you deal with, like, does it affect your mental health now as much as it did back in the day?
Oh yeah, definitely not. No, I'm like in a way better place now because I don't really get them anymore. Like I just have the scars, and sometimes they'll flare up around my period. But like I usually, I don't want to say it like to manifest it, but I would get like one really bad flare up for the year.
Okay.
But I noticed that when I went on Accutane for a little bit a few years ago, and it flared up completely because this is also really important for people to know because Accutane shrinks your sebaceous gland, and hidradenitis is inflammation of the sebaceous gland. So by the Accutane shrinking it, it aggravated it, and my
Yeah.
blew up. Like when I
Oh
tell you blew
no.
up, like it was so bad. Like it was like the size of like a golf ball. Like
Oh
I
my
couldn't walk or
goodness.
anything. I had to go to the hospital multiple times. I had to keep getting needles in my genital area and getting it drained. Like it was horrible. And it happened to me again this year, but on my butt. So
Oh my
I could not sit.
goodness.
I could not sit for a week. I was out of work for a week straight. I had to keep going back and forth from the hospital to the dermatologist. And like that, I would, those times where it happened, I was crying and like very stressed because I couldn't really move. And it was, it's extremely painful because like how I'm sitting right now, I wasn't able to sit for a week.
Oh
Like
my
for a week, I
goodness.
had to stay laying on my side. It was really bad.
Oh my gosh. I
Yeah.
know we got off topic, but that is, I thank you so much for
I
sharing that
know.
because it's interesting because people pick different careers and like they find their passions in different ways. And I think that it sounds like from just a curiosity standpoint and also like how you were raised has kind of led you down this path to like, okay, how do I heal myself? Like, what can I? Is there anything that I can control? So tell me a little bit about some of your like where the passion for crossing nutrition and mental health came from.
So I don't, to be honest, I don't know if I even know. I just know that when I was looking up things about nutrition, I always saw about how nutrition can impact how you felt. And I just always thought it was really cool. I wouldn't say I dealt with something that like led me to be being into mental health. Besides me being like very like depressed over that condition. I'm not, honestly, I can't even answer that because I just always just been interested because I thought it was really cool that what you eat affects your brain because a lot of people don't know that. And I just always had a passion for that. Actually, I think it's because I feel like I always, not always, but I would have issues with like memory, like not anything that's like diagnosable or anything, but I just felt like I was very forgetful. And sometimes I also felt like I needed extra energy and motivation to do schoolwork. So I always wanted to eat better for more energy and motivation and to improve my memory to be better in school and in my life. So I think that's where it came from. So I always thought it was cool that if I eat really well, it improves my brain health. And then I was always interested in like neurodegenerative diseases such as like dementia and Alzheimer's and just general memory loss because I think it's really important for people to know that those can be prevented through nutrition, regardless of whether it's genetic or not. So I think that's where that passion came from when it came to mental health. And then as I got older, when I was in college, that's when I first started dealing with anxiety. Because as a kid, I was pretty avoidant. My whole family is very avoidant. So no one ever talked about emotions or anything. So I was a very anxious kid, but never knew that I was. And no one ever also knew that I was. Like, I feel like in Caribbean households, are just like, eh, whatever. And that's not to generalize all of them, but for the most part, mental health is pretty overlooked. And then in college, my sophomore year, I was in a lot of credits and I was extremely stressed out. And I remember sitting on my bed one day and I was like, I don't know what I'm feeling. Like my chest is hurting me and I can't breathe and I'm very overwhelmed. And my roommate was like, I think you have anxiety. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, what the hell is anxiety? And then she explained it to me, and I was like, oh, like, I think I really have anxiety. And then that's when I started piecing everything together in my life that I do have anxiety and that I've been dealing with it for years, but it's just been suppressed in my body. And now that I acknowledge it, now that's when I started getting more into mental health when it came to like anxiety and depression. And then at one point, I dealt with a vitamin D deficiency that led to me having seasonal depression and other like life events that took place. And then that's when I really started getting into mental health.
That's super interesting. A lot of different small influences in your life
Yeah, it's
that
like
took you down.
it's
Yeah,
a
that's
domino
so
effect, yeah.
interesting. When we are talking, I know you mentioned about going through some anxiety while you were in college. Now that you are working with other people, I want to get into like what helps anxiety from a nutrition standpoint. So, are there certain nutrients in foods that can help decrease the anxiety or manage your anxiety?
Yeah, so there's a handful of nutrients that if you are deficient in can actually increase your risk for anxiety. So I'll try to go in order. For one, B vitamins. B vitamins are great for, well, they're known to be helpful with your metabolism and your energy. So being low in B vitamins can cause an increase in anxiety. Vitamin D has been directly linked to anxiety and depression if low, and Black people specifically are more prone to being vitamin D deficient because the melanin in our skin blocks the sun rays from penetrating as thoroughly as it does for white people. So that's why white people tend to get sunburned more easily because the sun just goes right through their skin. But with people with darker skin that have more melanin, the sun does not necessarily penetrate our skin as efficiently as it should. And we get vitamin D from the sun. So we're typically blocked off from getting as much vitamin D as we need. So Black people tend to be more deficient in vitamin D. We need higher amounts of it. That was B, that was D. When it comes to minerals now, iron is extremely important when it comes to anxiety because being deficient can mimic feelings of anxiety, such as like shortness of breath, the heart racing. Because when you're iron deficient, your body has to work harder to pump blood throughout your body, and that can cause more stress on your organs, which can cause the anxiety. Magnesium is one of the most important nutrients for anxiety, and the American population typically is more deficient in magnesium because our diet is primarily high in refined carbohydrates and protein, and magnesium is mainly from plants like leafy vegetables, nuts, and seeds. And magnesium is responsible for over 300 biochemical reactions that take place in the body. It's responsible for helping us to break down and to create energy for cellular metabolism and other things. And magnesium is extremely important for our brains, so it's really important for anxiety, stress, and depression. So that's why there's been like this big magnesium trend on TikTok of like the girls taking like magnesium glycinate before bed and things like that, because it really does help with regulating your sleep, your anxiety, your stress, and depression. And
Is
then
there, Dakira, I have a question about magnesium because I'm very anemic and I'm also magnesium deficient. So
okay.
I take both iron supplement and I take a magnesium supplement and I also take a vitamin D3 liquid vitamin. I go for
Oh,
all of those.
good.
But interestingly enough, so I have a friend of mine that also has similar health hurdles that she goes through to me. And she's the one that had mentioned magnesium. And then I saw a chiropractor a while back, and he was like, you should really look into taking magnesium. And I would take it, and I was taking these like magnesium horse pills at the time.
Yeah,
And
they're usually, they're big
they didn't
sometimes.
really work for me. Like it helped a little bit. I will say it helped a little bit. And then I went to the chiropractor that I see now that is his focus is on nutrition and supplements. And he had me bring in, like, he's the only doctor that was ever like, bring in everything that you take. And he ran some tests and realized that the magnesium that I was taking, I guess there's like four different types, I was taking the wrong type for my body.
Yeah.
And so I should have, he switched me to the right one and switched me to the liquid form. And it, like, within maybe 5 days, I felt a significant, it was like all the other supplements started working better, like everything
Yeah.
came together. So for anybody that's listening, like it makes a huge difference. Of course, talk to your doctor, talk to a dietitian before you make these changes, but you don't realize how much it has an effect on your whole entire body.
Yeah. And there's different types of magnesium too. There's magnesium glycinate, which is good for anxiety, stress, and depression. There is magnesium oxide, which is good for like going to the bathroom. And I'm not good at remembering all the different types of magnesium, but those are just like the two different types on like the top of my head. And so that's probably why you're probably taking different forms of magnesium. And also when it comes to supplements in general, making sure that they're third party tested is really important, because supplements are not regulated by the FDA, meaning that people can like someone like literally like anyone could just come up with a supplement line and just start selling it without it being tested for accuracy. So people can be saying, oh, I'm selling this turmeric supplement, but it can just be like orange rice powder in it or gelatin. So you want to make sure that your supplements are third party tested, so that you're actually getting what it's being advertised as. So that's also something that's really important when it comes to supplements. And then the last nutrient I wanted to mention, I believe this should be the last one, is omega-3s. So omega-3s are healthy fats that we need for our brain. Our brain is primarily made out of fat. So fats like fats. So you want to nourish your brain with a lot of omega-3s and fatty acids to help deal with inflammation, that can also help to better improve your mental health, such as depression, anxiety, and stress, and things like that.
That's super helpful. Thank you for going through that list. So I'm going to do a quick recap. So we've got vitamin B.
Yeah, B vitamins, because there's different B vitamins. Like there's B1, B2, B5. It's a bunch of them.
Yeah, B12. I know B12, it's one that's good for like vegans.
Yeah.
That don't get a lot of meat. So we've got vitamin Bs, all the Bs, vitamin D. So getting outside and getting sun or taking an over-the-counter supplement.
Yeah. And from certain foods as well. So with vitamin D, you can get it from dairy products, mushrooms, and fortified food items that have it.
Awesome. That was going to be my next question. So Dakira, you're right on track with where I'm going with this. So we've got vitamin D, and then vitamin, am I blanking already? D, B, iron.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I went into iron. Right? Iron, and then magnesium.
And so Dakira, for iron, I'm thinking of like foods that are rich in iron. I know spinach is one of them, but are there any other foods that are rich in iron that people could add to their diet?
So when it comes to iron, there's two different types. There's heme iron and non-heme iron. And non-heme iron is like plant-based iron sources, and heme iron is from animal. And your body absorbs animal sources of iron better than plants. But obviously they both can help. But when it comes to getting iron, you want to pair it with vitamin C, because they help to absorb each other. So good sources of plant-based iron can come from like red meat, but like organ meats such as like liver and things like that. That's very high in iron. Lamb, not necessarily like chicken stuff has iron, but it's more so like meat that's very high in iron, organ meats. And then when it comes to plants, I know it's usually like beans. Some leafy greens have iron. I'm trying to remember the other ones. Also using like
that's super helpful, iron skillet. Like kale.
Yeah, kale.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about this, because I've seen this on TikTok.
Yeah, cast iron skillet is an easy way to get some iron into your food, because it just helps to infuse iron into your food. And I was also talking to someone else about this recently. I went live with a vegan dietitian the other day, and we were talking about the iron fish. And it's something that you can buy on a website. I think the brand's called like Lucky Iron Fish or something. And it's a small iron fish that you can add to your foods that diffuses iron into your foods. It's kind of expensive though. I know one fish is like $70. And people add iron to their water. They add it to their soup, their food. So that's another way to get iron into your food. But that's a little bit more on the expensive
side. Is that like a literal iron, like metal fish?
Yeah.
That you like put into like a pasta.
Yeah.
Like just have it sit there for a little bit and then take it out and eat?
Yeah. So I don't know the exact directions for it. I don't remember. But I think you either have to add it with something that's citrus or not with citrus. I can't remember exactly what it is. But you just cook with it like regular, and it doesn't really affect the taste of your foods apparently. It just adds more iron to your foods.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to look into that because that iron supplement, I don't know for anybody else that takes iron supplements, it is harsh on your stomach. I used
Yes,
to take
yeah.
horse pills back in high school, or not high school, in college, like the big black iron pills.
Yeah.
And I won't go too much into it, but it'll have your digestive
Yeah.
system doing jump ropes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not cute. It's not
Yeah.
fun.
And iron is also
So
very
that would be
constipating.
interesting. It is. Like, if you take, like, I literally take one drop, like, for my cycle, I take 2 drops throughout just to help replenish all the things that I'm losing during
Yeah.
that time. But if it's too much, my body's like, oh, no. And then there's a lot of gas associated with it, and I won't
Yeah.
go too into it. But just if one is not working for you, I've personally found that the pills for iron do not work for me. I have to take a liquid supplement. That's not
Yeah.
for everybody, but if you've had that trouble in the past, talk to your doctor about switching to something that may be a little less harsh on your stomach.
Yeah, so the thing with vitamins and other mineral supplements, it's really important to take it after you eat, especially iron and zinc. You do not want to take those on an empty stomach. That would completely mess you up. Like in high school, I took iron but without eating breakfast, and I threw up and I had to go home. Like it would really mess you up. So you also want to make sure that you eat first and eat a meal that is high in vitamin C to help better with the absorption of the iron.
And so, for anybody that needs a quick recap, like going back to 3rd grade to our vitamin C chart, we've got oranges, like lemons. What other foods? I know like grapefruits, but is it mainly citrus fruits that gives you that vitamin C?
So it's citrus fruits and also potatoes are high in vitamin C, bell peppers,
Really?
yeah, bell peppers, kiwis, and then citrus fruits. That's what I can think of right now.
I did not know potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay, another excuse for me to eat potatoes. I don't know if this vitamin C is getting translated in the potato chips that I'm eating, but I will try to do like a raw potato. Okay, that is helpful. And then I know we were going like recapping all the vitamins and minerals that you said help anxiety, and I think we are at magnesium. And so for magnesium, what types of foods have magnesium?
So leafy greens such as like collard greens, spinach, kale, dandelion greens, also nuts, seeds, and legumes. So chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, beans, lentils. Those are mainly where you can get your magnesium from, like whole grains. So like multi-grain bread and multi-grain products are also going to be really high in magnesium. And nuts, like almonds and what other nuts? I don't eat nuts either, so I always forget. I
Well, you
love
don't like
almonds.
peanut butter, so that
I
doesn't
know,
surprise me.
yeah. But I like to
I love
blend
all of
them
that.
into drinks so I can get the
Okay.
benefits without tasting it.
Yeah, do you make like a cashew milk or almond milk or anything?
Oh no, like if I make a protein shake, I'll blend like pumpkin seeds or I'll blend like some nuts or any seeds to get those
Yeah.
benefits in without having to taste it because I don't like the taste of nuts at all. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm big on like putting chia seeds. I've recently gotten big on like pumpkin seeds this last, I don't know, year or so. Like sometimes I'll like not fry them, but like roast them a little bit on a pan. I don't know if I'm killing the magnesium, but
No,
it tastes really good like
I don't think you are. But pumpkin seeds
that.
are actually also really good for anxiety because they're really high in magnesium and zinc. And zinc is also really important for anxiety as well.
Okay, so when we're thinking about anti-anxiety snacks, pumpkin seeds can be in that little bucket of
Yeah.
snacks. Oh, okay, maybe we need to talk about anti-anxiety snacks.
Yeah, and I actually just remembered, I completely forgot to also mention probiotics. Probiotics
Oh,
are extremely
yes.
important in anxiety because it feeds the good bacteria in your gut and your emotions, like your hormones, the happy hormones, such as like dopamine and serotonin, are produced in the gut. So the more probiotics and good bacteria you have in your gut, the more you're able to produce more dopamine and serotonin, which is going to help with your anxiety and decrease stress and make you just more happy in general.
Yes, okay, come through education.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so I love that you mentioned that because the gut connection to, I think I did an episode called The Second Brain, where we talked about like the mind to gut connection. When we're talking about probiotics, as a dietitian, from your standpoint, when do we take probiotics? Because I struggle on when to take them. I think I'm supposed to be taking the ones I take on an empty stomach. Is that right? Or like what, how do I make them more powerful?
So I've read that you should take them, and I think for me also personally, but everyone is different, I think they work best on an empty stomach because usually, so when you eat, the whole body does a whole entire process for like digestion. So when you start to smell food or when you taste food and you salivate, your mouth produces enzymes to help you break down those foods. So in your mouth primarily there's an enzyme called amylase, which breaks down carbohydrates, and then as you go down the GI tract, it produces other enzymes that are released from like the pancreas that also helps to further break down food. So when you are stimulating your digestive system with food, you're releasing enzymes, which are breaking down the food. And from what I have read, it's better to take them on an empty stomach so that you're not stimulating those enzymes, so that if the probiotic can reach your gut, like your large intestine, I think. One of those intestines, I don't know. So that it can reach there before getting digested by the enzymes. That's what I was told by another dietitian, and I read it somewhere. So I think it's best on the empty stomach versus you taking other supplements and then you want it to be more digested because it's supposed to like go through your system, whatever. But probiotics, you want them to be in your gut. So I think it's best for it to be taken on an empty stomach. That's just what I was told.
Okay, so we want the probiotics to get time alone with the gut.
Yeah. Yeah,
But
literally.
the vitamins and minerals, we want them to be like accompanied by food, or like when they come into your body, they need to like have a nice cushion of
Yeah.
food that you've eaten.
Because the foods that we eat help us to better absorb vitamins and minerals. So fat-soluble vitamins, which are vitamins A, D, and E, and K, are better absorbed with fat, with fatty foods. So like eating, so like let's say you want to take like vitamin D, it'll be beneficial to eat it with like nuts and seeds or like a nut butter, like peanut butter, because it's gonna help to better absorb it, or like with olive oil, things like that. So it's really important that you're pairing your vitamins and minerals with food for better absorption. And like iron and vitamin C go hand in hand together. Turmeric and black pepper help to absorb each other. So there's a lot of combinations of things that can help to absorb each other when it comes to food and vitamins and minerals.
So we got nutrient powerhouse combos,
Yeah,
basically.
literally, yeah.
I like that. Okay. I know that. So we went over some foods. I want to talk about drinks. And this is as I'm drinking coffee, which I know is not supposed to, you know, it is decaf, which I find to be helpful. I occasionally get a full blast, like real cup of coffee. But I usually get half calf,
Yeah, me
like
too.
one shot of real, you know, espresso and another decaf. But that has been from like my own discovery of trying to figure out like what helps me and what hurts my anxiety. And I realized that drinking a cup of powerful coffee makes my anxiety shoot through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, not
Yeah.
only that, but like really sugary drinks. Like, I don't really like a lot of juices. I like natural juices, but not like the store-bought juices and stuff. I realize that things that have too much sugar in them kind of make my brain go a little
Yeah, for sure.
haywire.
Yeah.
And so I drink a lot of water. I drink a lot of teas. I try to drink like calming teas like chamomile and peppermint. I'm constantly trying to like calm my nervous
Yeah.
system. But when we're talking about some drinks that help anxiety, what are some things that we can add? And what are some like beverages that we can like maybe reduce the amount that we're drinking?
Okay, so first, when it comes to coffee, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how you should drink coffee and mushroom coffee. So when it comes to, yeah, mushroom coffee. So when it comes to coffee can spike our cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, which is why you feel anxiety when you drink coffee. So when it comes to drinking coffee, you want to make sure that you are only drinking it after you eat. Like, it is so important to never drink coffee on an empty stomach because you're literally asking for your stress hormones to be like destroyed first thing in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, a lot of people would drink coffee first thing in the morning, and that is setting yourself up for failing for the rest of the day because it spikes your cortisol levels, which goes hand in hand with your blood sugar, and it causes your cortisol to spike, your blood sugar to spike, and then crash. And that's why people, when they drink coffee first thing in the morning, they may feel very fatigued in the middle of the day because they've crashed their blood sugar from drinking caffeine first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. So it's really important that you eat a nutrient-dense, fiber and protein-dense breakfast before consuming coffee. And fiber and protein is important because it helps us to stabilize our blood sugar because our bodies digest protein and fiber slower, and it digests as carbs faster. So when you're combining protein, fiber, and carbs together, it's a moderate digestion process versus if you're having carbs by itself, that's going to spike your blood sugar and cause you to crash, as how coffee does an empty stomach. So with coffee, it's very important to, one, drink it after you eat, and two, if you can add some fats to your coffee, that can also help with slowing down the digestion process as to how it spikes your blood sugar. So like having like whole milk or like dairy or non-dairy products that are high in fat can also help to slow down the rate at which the caffeine spikes your blood sugar. So like people may experience anxiety when they have coffee black or coffee with skim milk that has no fat, or chips that has little fat. But then if you add a lot of whole milk or like full fat products to your coffee, I know some people add olive oil to their coffee or like MCT oil to their coffee.
I do the MCT oil.
Yeah,
sometimes.
that can help a little bit, but not necessarily as much as choosing to have coffee after breakfast. So that's the first thing about that. And then mushroom coffee is actually, so there's different brands that have it. There's Own Mushroom, there's Rise Mushroom. Now people are into Mud Water now. That one I haven't really looked much into. But mushroom coffee is coffee that has been infused with adaptogenic mushrooms. And those mushrooms are mushrooms that are really, really, really good for our gut health. They're good for our brain health. They're great for inflammation. They're good for battling diseases. And there's different types. There's lion's mane mushroom. There's turkey tail. There's reishi mushroom. There is chaga mushroom. There's cordyceps. So there's a bunch of different adaptogenic mushrooms. And adaptogens, and the word adapt, it means that it helps our bodies to adapt to stress. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. So the coffees that have these adaptogenic mushrooms in them are helping our bodies to adapt to stress. And it also is less acidic than coffee, and it doesn't produce much of an inflammatory response as regular coffee does. So some people tolerate mushroom coffee better than regular coffee, but either way, always have coffee after eating.
Oh, I love that. The rules of drinking coffee.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that because, like I said, I've been on my own journey with coffee, and part of that journey was actually mushrooms, and I was introduced to mud water. I think my mom sent me some samples. She's very health conscious, kind of like you're mentioning with your mom, and always was like, how can we eat better? And like, look at this new like superfood that's come out. And but I tried mud water and I was like, this is great, but it's also very expensive.
Yeah.
And I ended up looking up what types of adaptogenic mushrooms actually like help anxiety and depression and things like that. And I think I landed on reishi.
Yeah, reishi. I was going to say,
Yeah, so I ended up just finding a really good wholesale brand and like buying a big
buying
pack of reishi.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and then I also, at the time, the doctor I was seeing was like, look, you cannot drink coffee. Like, you got to give your body a break.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need something. And I ended up on dandelion tea.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and so I didn't drink coffee for a really long time and ended up on dandelion tea. And for anybody that is looking for maybe an alternative to coffee or maybe like taking a little break, Dandy Tea is the brand that I get from Amazon, and it tastes coffee-ish. And then I just like put my mushrooms in there. Right now I'm on Rise Mushrooms. I'm trying them out just because I'm curious about all these things. But I just think it's so great that you're sharing all these other things that I think a lot of people don't know are available. And also like, how to drink coffee. Nobody really thinks about how to drink coffee because you see people wake up and they're just like, I got to start my day with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And they're frustrated by like
1
p.m. and tired and like they've crashed. And it's great to know that there's these little like nutrition or diet hacks that we could use, diet anxiety hacks that can particularly help our anxiety. So that's so great to know.
And also with coffee, a lot of people would add a ton of sugar to their coffee, and I know that because I used to work at Dunkin', and people would get like a large coffee with 16 sugars. And
Did you
that,
say
yes,
16?
16. Like some people overload on sugar. And when it comes to sugar, as recommended, we're not supposed to have more than 25 grams of added sugar in a day. And added sugar is legit sugar that's added to foods. It doesn't include natural sugars that come from fruit, so that's completely fine. The only people that have to watch out for natural sugars and added sugars together are diabetics and people that have issues with their insulin resistance. But otherwise, the normal population typically can have a lot of natural sugars, but when it comes to added sugars, you want to keep it to 25 grams and under in a day. So 16 grams of sugar is like a shit ton of sugar. Like that's a lot of
It
sugar. And
is.
sugar also crashes your blood sugar because when you're consuming sugar or carbs by itself, you're spiking your blood sugar and then you're crashing. So not only are you crashing blood sugar from having an insane amount of sugar in your coffee, the coffee itself is also crashing your cortisol levels and causing like it's like an anxiety roller coaster just like waiting to happen by drinking a very sugary caffeinated drink first thing in the morning. And that also applies to energy drinks as well and other very sugary, high caffeinated drinks.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about energy drinks and some of the, for those people, because I stopped drinking energy drinks years ago when I saw the effects it was having on people's hearts. This is back in the day of like, I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Oh, is it Celsius?
No, Four Loko. I'm t like all the millennials will like recognize Four Loko. What I'm talking about is like, it was alcohol and energy drinks. It was just like a freaking heart attack in a can. But I know, like, I used to be a health coach back in the day for an insurance company, and I saw people that drink 4, 5, 6 cups of or Red Bulls a day, had a few cups of coffee, and like really didn't eat. And trying to explain to them like the effect that it's having on their body is really tough because for them, they're functioning. Like, I feel good enough. But I would love for you to just share a little bit on like maybe some of the things to look out for when it comes to energy drinks and how it can affect your anxiety.
So energy drinks are one of those things that's also not regulated, same with supplements. So a lot of energy drinks will have a lot of crazy additives, and they will also have things in them that's not even listed on the bottle because it's not regulated. So I don't trust. I like the only brand I like of energy drinks is Alani Nu because it tastes really good, but I rarely drink them. I drink them like maybe like when I have to work out on my period, I'll drink them when I'm feeling very low energy. But otherwise, I can talk about this afterwards, but I prefer to drink matcha as pre-workout, and I'll explain why. Matcha and carbs for my pre-workout. But energy drinks can be very overly high in caffeine, which is crashing your cortisol levels and your blood sugar. And then it also will have an overabundance of vitamins that's not necessary. So any vitamins and minerals in excess is actually causing more inflammation in the body than it's doing good. And a lot of people will think, oh, but I'm just getting extra vitamin B, that's good. But it's like that can actually increase your risk for cancer when you're overloading your body vitamins and minerals because you're causing more inflammation in the body and your body has nowhere to put all these vitamins and minerals. So it just turns into more stress on the body and causes more inflammation and can cause cancer. So a lot of these energy drinks will have like, it'll say B vitamins and it'll be like on the side where it has the amount that you need for your daily intake. It'll say like 1,000% of your daily intake, and that's like an insane amount of B vitamins. And B vitamins are excreted through your urine, yes, but you still don't want to be overloading on vitamins and minerals in general. So I think when it comes to energy drinks, I personally think every once in a while is okay if it's like a brand that you trust and is not overloaded in an insane amount of caffeine and vitamins. But I think the best pre-workouts is carbs and matcha, in my opinion.
That is so interesting. Carbs and matcha. So like, 'cause I don't, like I said, I don't do pre-workout, I don't do caffeine, but oftentimes I'll just eat a date with some peanut butter and like a couple nuts before I go to the gym, 'cause I feel like the sugar from the dates will kind of give me some energy, but there's It's like a slow absorption.
Yeah.
That's how it feels in my body.
Because you're also having it with the nuts and the peanut butter, so that also helps with the slower digestion.
Yes. Oh my gosh, all of this is so helpful, Dakira. You know your stuff, girl. We're gonna have to have you come back. I got more questions, but I know we are almost at time, and I really want to get into some of the work that you're doing in terms of coaching people. Can you tell us about your coaching programs, what they look like, and then like if people want to sign up, where do they sign up?
Yeah, so I was gonna say we can still keep going if you want, because I still do have a little bit of time before. So I can answer that later. If I'm gonna answer it now, that's fine.
Let's jump into it now, because I've got more questions about like your coaching, and then I know you've got some other projects in the works.
Yeah, so I offer one-on-one nutrition counseling for people that deal with anxiety and stress and depression, but I also help people with anything else like weight management, PCOS, diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol. If you have an issue, anything, basically I can help you with it. If I can help you with that, then I'll refer you to somebody else, but I help with like all things nutrition because I'm just very passionate about it in general, if you could not tell by now.
Yes, girl, I could tell. You are a book.
Yeah.
You're a walking book.
I should write a book one day. So I offer that counseling, and you can find the link for that on my Instagram and TikTok page. It's Anxiety Free Dietitian. And I also have some free resources, but I took them off my page because this is my first time announcing this, but I'm working on creating an app that I plan on releasing within the next few weeks. So I'm putting all of my resources into that app. In that app, I included a free 21-day anxiety-free challenge. I have a free anxiety grocery list. I also am including some, I have an anxiety recipe book. I have master classes. I'm also offering meditation courses, subliminals, like a bunch of different things for anxiety is going to be on that app. So I'm hoping for it to be released within the next month or so, and that's going to have all of my resources literally into one app so that I'm not having like multiple resources all over the place. And there's something else that I created. Oh, my podcast. Wait.
I was about to say hello. The Anxious It Girl. I forgot about the Anxious It Girl.
The Anxious It Girl podcast. It's on Apple and Spotify. I talk about mental health, nutrition, and self-care, and just how to be your most authentic, more intuitive self. And I talk a lot about feminine energy and how that applies and ties into anxiety as well. So I think those are my main projects. But I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on TikTok at Anxiety Free Dietitian. I post on all of them very regularly.
I love that. And Dakira, there's one thing I just wanted to. So when I think I might have mentioned earlier. So Dakira and I linked up on Instagram. I think I might have been like stalking her on Instagram and kind of going through and like sharing her posts and liking her stuff. One thing that I love about your page and that I love about even just this conversation is that I wonder if people at the beginning of this podcast thought that it would go a different way. Because when we say dietitian, when we talk about nutrition, especially like in America, typically the conversation goes down the road of weight loss.
Yeah.
And I love your page because that is not the focus. And I think it's really easy for us to equate food with like calorie deficit and restrictive diets, and really just, I think we tunnel vision sometimes on those conversations, and we forget about this wealth of knowledge, like this wealth of information on like, how does it affect your anxiety? How does it affect your depression? How does like drinking a cup of coffee and the way you drink it and what you're drinking it with or before or after, how does that affect you for the rest of the day? And that is, I just really admire what you're doing with your page. And I admire the way that you're approaching food and nutrition and how you're educating people, because I feel like you're doing it with a sense of care that we don't always see in the dietitian space.
Yeah. So the thing with dietitians, a lot of people think that we're the food police because we just like a lot of, not a lot, but I want to say, I'm not generalizing everybody, but the more older school dietitians are more so focused on diet and restriction. But like, you'll notice a lot of millennial and Gen Z dietitians were all about food freedom, liberalizing diets, like it's basically F diet culture. And we promote a lot of they're just the complete opposite of diet restriction. We actually like to help people add more foods into their diet Because the diet culture is a billion-dollar industry that profits off of the insecurities of people. So a lot of people grew up thinking that we had to restrict this, and we had to restrict carbs, and we had to eat Special K all day long to lose weight, because it was a crazy Special K commercial that used to come out in the early 2000s. And now new age dietitians are like, hold up, we don't need to be cutting out carbs. We don't need to be cutting out fats. We need to actually include them in moderation in our diets, but with obviously a supervised practice. So you have to be very mindful of who you consume your information from, because there are a lot of people on the internet that call themselves nutritionists. But there's a difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist. Like, a dietitian is a
Ooh, talk
nutritionist.
about it. What's the difference? Because I think this goes over people's heads. I used to work with a lot of dietitians, and I think I ran into that often where people I worked with and I would refer them to the dietitian had a very skewed view of like what is a dietitian versus, somebody that's just kind of feeding information about nutrition.
Yeah, so a dietitian is a nutritionist, but a nutritionist is not a dietitian. So dietitians were required to get an undergraduate degree. We're required to do a 1,200-hour residency that we call an internship that we have to go and work as a dietitian under the supervision of an actual dietitian in different clinical settings. So we have to do rotations at a hospital, nursing home, food service. Some of us do rotations in sports nutrition, pediatrics. So we have a wide like experience or knowledge with working in different dietitian settings. And then we also require to take a state exam that is really hard, that we have to pass in order to be state registered as a dietitian. And now dietitians are also required to get their master's degree. So we are literally medical nutrition experts. Like, nutrition is wired into our brain. So it's also really important to know that some people on the internet may call themselves a nutritionist, but they can be anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. Like, literally, like Joe Schmo can call themselves a nutritionist, and they can be getting their information from like random Google articles and Instagram pages. And but dietitians, because we're registered by the state, we're required to continuously educate ourselves on the new and upcoming research, and it's called getting continuing education credits, basically. So we have to keep getting like watching webinars and attending like different networking events in order to keep learning about nutrition, and then they calculate our points at the end of every 5 years to make sure that we are continuously educating ourselves. And a lot of people will get information from doctors, and this is no shade to doctors. Doctors are very knowledgeable in what they do, but a lot of
Yeah,
doctors.
but they don't know about
Yeah,
nutrition.
doctors go through a lot of training, but they only get 1 to 2 nutrition classes. And some of them actually get none at all. Because, and I know that if I spoke to a doctor, my friend's sister's friend's a doctor, and she said that she didn't get any training on nutrition in college. So she was talking to me, well, in med school, so she was talking to me about nutrition, and I was telling her stuff. So a lot of doctors also will post a lot of wrong and harmful information about nutrition, and people will believe them because they're doctors, and they'll just follow it. Like, some doctors will promote like a carnivore diet, which is not a good diet to be on. And a lot of doctors also promote harmful diets because they want to sell supplements. So it's a lot of misinformation on the internet. So when it comes to nutrition, this is not me being biased, but the best person you want to go to is a dietitian, because we're literally state registered medical nutrition experts, and we provide medical nutrition therapy. So that's my whole spiel on following dietitians and getting information from them. But new age dietitians are more liberal versus the old school dietitians, who are more focused on like diet restrictions and things like that. And that's why it has dietitians have a bad rep, because in the early 2000s, where diet culture was booming, I mean, if you look at pictures of like Paris Hilton or Britney Spears, they were like twigs. And it was a very anti-carb, anti-fat culture. A lot of the older people now grew up with that mentality, and they see dietitians as like, oh, they're just gonna put me on a strict diet, or they're gonna make me take out this and that. But no, like a dietitian that really is open-minded is going to help you add foods to your diet and not take away foods, because then that can lead to more disordered eating. So, yeah.
Oh, I love this conversation, Dakira. I thank you so much for hopping on the podcast. Hopefully we can collab again and come back together and do another episode, but this is super helpful. Like I said, I really admire what you're
Thank
doing.
you.
I like you have a full supporter here. I think what you're doing is super important. I have my own history with food and like disordered eating. And I think had I had like what you're doing, your podcast, your content, when I was like 15, 16, life might have been a little different, you know? But keep going. You have a full supporter from this side. For anybody that wants to follow you, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Pinterest at Anxiety Free Dietitian. And my podcast, the Anxious Echo Podcast, on Apple and Spotify. And I'll also be releasing my app soon. So when I do that, I will let you know. And you can also tell your followers as well.
Yep. By the time y'all listen, the app might be out. So make sure y'all check the description. All of the information you need to follow Dakira, to get her content. If you're interested in coaching, definitely hit her up. She's got some awesome things going on her side, as you guys can see. Thank you to everybody that is listening to the podcast. I appreciate y'all sticking around to the end. I think this has been an amazing conversation. Make sure y'all go listen to The Anxious It Girl, which is Dakira's podcast as well. We got to support, you know. We got to support. Yeah. yes. And the more podcasts that bring great information, the better, in my view. So, yeah. I thank you to everybody that's listening. Thank you again, Dakira. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a really fun conversation.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks, everybody that's listening. Make sure y'all go follow at Black Girls Have Anxiety, too, on all the things. Hit me up if you want to hop on for an episode and talk about your mental health journey. And I will talk to y'all on the flip side. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety Too. No matter where you are in the world, I really appreciate your support. See you again on the next episode, but until then, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Have Anxiety Too and on Twitter at Anxious Black Girls. That's Anxious BLK Girls. And remember, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you have to struggle in silence. The more we talk about it, the more we heal.